Welcome to the Senior Zone,
where we connect older adults with the organizations and resources that serve them.
The Senior Zone's goal,
while working with local and national partners,
aims to educate, empower, enlighten, entertain, and engage older adults with the tools and information to stay healthy, happy, and secure.
Great guests, health tips, upcoming events, and useful information.
So get ready to take notes
and have some fun.
It's now time
for the Senior Zone.
Good morning and welcome to the Senior Zone. I am your host, Sean Perry, here for another blessed Monday. We've got some good and useful and relevant information for you, our senior, as well as their caregivers this morning. But thank you again for turning into the Senior Zone, where it's our mandate to discover the topics and discuss the critical issues facing seniors today, uniting seniors 50 and over with tips and directions to senior programs and services, tools and resources, events, advice, and cultural tidbits. The Senior Zone hopes to inspire, impact, influence, and improve the quality of life for older adults everywhere. Why? Simply because we care. The caller number for today's show is 240-638-5430. That's 240-638-5430. Or you can follow us online at theseniorzone.com. In our first segment of today's show, we're going to hear about one of the newest sports to sweep the nation. I'm talking about pickleball. Yes, pickleball. We're going to learn about why they chose that name as well. With me today will be Mr. Scott Parker of the United States of America Pickleball Association. I'm excited to talk about pickleball. Yes, pickleball. Afterwards, I will chat with the CEO of the National Association of the Area Agencies on Aging about how seniors can connect with community aging services. And in our last segment, we're going to hear from our sponsors and reveal our Super Senior of the Week. But before we begin, please allow me to thank those that keep us doing what we love to do here on the Senior Zone. And the first up is AARP Legal Counsel for the Elderly. They provide free legal advice, assistance, referrals to all district residents 60 years of age and older. So whether it's wills, power of attorneys, landlord-tenant disputes, estate planning, and so much more, LCE is there for you and at no cost, absolutely free. They can be reached at 202-434-2120, 202-434-2120. Next up is our good friends over at the D.C. Office on Aging. Under the leadership of Executive Director Laura Newland, they develop and carry out a comprehensive and coordinated system of health, education, employment, and social services for the district's older adults, persons living with disabilities, and their caregivers. The D.C. Office on Aging can be reached at 202-724-5622. That's 202-724-5622. And last and certainly not least, our friends over at Right at Home. Right at Home is the leader in the in-home senior care industry. Their trained caregivers provide the best in in-home care for seniors and disabled adults who need some assistance to maintain their independence. If you're looking for the best, I mean the best, in in-home care, either for yourself or for your loved one, give Right at Home a call at 301-255-0066. 301-255-0066. Folks, whether this marks your first time tuning in or if you're a regular listener of the Senior Zone, we say thank you from the bottom of our collective hearts and hope this won't be your last time traveling through. Tell a friend, tell your pastor, tell your neighbor. Check us out on Facebook. Just tell any and everybody. Well, let's just get right into it. With me today is Mr. Scott Parker. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm terrific. Thank you.
Well, we're here to talk about pickleball. And I'm assuming that most of us, because I didn't know about pickleball until, you know, we had contacted each other several months ago. And it's crossing the nation. It's a rave. But let's talk about pickleball a little bit more. What is pickleball? How did it start? And how long has it been around? Three-part question.
Well, it's actually been around for almost 50 years.
Wow.
It was created by two fathers out near Seattle, Washington, whose two sons were kind of bored with the normal games, and so they created a new game and gave it the name of pickleball. So it's been around actually quite a long time, but yeah. The real rise in the interest in the sport has really come among seniors over the course of the last decade. So while it's not new, it's probably one of the most fast-growing adult sports in the nation at this point.
Yeah,
We call it the sweet sport with the sour name. It's the name pickleball comes from, because it was out in Washington, the big rowing community out there, and the boat that has sort of a mix mash of oarsmen in the boat is normally known as the pickle boat.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of a mixture of players that play pickle ball in this case.
Yeah. And so how did you find out about it? It's been around for 50 years, as you say, but when did Scott find out about it? And where do you play?
I found out about it about a little over 2 years ago from one of my high school classmates at a reunion. We were all sort of talking about what we were doing now and things and so on, because I've been out of high school for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the classmate happened to mention the fact that they were playing pickleball. And my reaction was exactly the same as yours. What is pickleball?
Sure.
And so I've researched it a bit and found out that there were classes in the local area, in this case, Alexandria. And that's where I actually started to play a little over 2 years ago.
Yeah, how is the game? How is it played in terms of the court that is played on, the equipment that's needed, and is it an indoor versus outdoor sport or both?
Well, let me answer the last question first. It is both. In this area, primarily, it's an indoor sport,
mm-hmm.
And that I think works better for most of the people who actually play it. When you see the court, Sean, it's a lot like a sort of a small tennis court in some respects.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the same size as a doubles badminton court. But the layout, if you were looking at it from above, would look very much like a small tennis court. So it's narrower and shorter. The big difference is, though, and why it's so popular among seniors now, is that the game is easier to play than normal tennis. So it's a racket sport, mm-hmm. in effect, but there are aspects of it. You serve underhand, for example, as opposed to overhand. The size of the court means that our somewhat lesser mobility than mm-hmm. we used to have when we were in our 20s works to our favor in the small court. There are two sections on either side of the net, which are called non-volley zones, so that people who are taller are not advantaged over people who are shorter. So there are a lot of aspects of the game that make it easier. And you play with a paddle that sure. sort of looks like an oversized ping pong paddle, if you will. So there are aspects of tennis, badminton, and ping pong in the sport. And you play with a ball that looks a lot like a wiffle ball. It's actually specifically made for pickleball, but it looks a lot like
Well, you brought one in studio and a paddle, so I have my first visual of a pickleball paddle as well as a ball. And he's absolutely right. It's a paddle. It's very light in its construction, and the ball is just a plastic wiffle ball. So who tends to play this game, and why would they play this versus some other similar sport, tennis or even ping pong?
Well, it is popular among people who – adults who used to play racket sports, for mm-hmm. example, and just are not as quick or as agile as they used to be, and the smaller size and various rules of the court make it more accessible in many respects than do traditional racket sports games. So it's very popular for adults who've had a racket sport background.
Sure.
It's also popular with seniors who, frankly, most of us are in better health than our parents were at the same age. And so we're looking for something that's sort of an appropriate, very active sport that still is, physically accessible to us as we get older. So we have a lot of people who are well past 55, and people who play into their 70s, and even some that play into their 80s.
Yeah. So where would someone go in this area to learn how to play a pickleball?
Well, there are many places, actually, that you can go. We recently, as of September of last year, in conjunction with the Department of Parks and Recreation in D.C., which is where I live, set up a program for instructional help and getting people started and drop-in play at three locations in the district. On a broader scale in the Washington metropolitan area, seniors can go to the website for the national organization, which you mentioned, USAPA.org, and there is a subsection there called Places to Play. So, for example, there are two locations in Alexandria, at least three in Arlington. There are some locations in Silver Spring, for instance. Mm-hmm. So it's actually – you need to look for it, but there are actually a lot of places to both learn and to play in the Washington metropolitan area.
Sure. So I'm going to give out that website one more time. You said it's USAPA.org. So United States of America Pickleball Association, USAPA.org.
Exactly. And if they go to the Places to Play drop-down menu, they will find a list by state and by city of all the places in which they can play.
You know, I speak about, you know, from time to time here on the Senior Zone, Scott, about, you know, keep it moving. And we hear about that. And I speak with a lot of national organizations, whether it's Alzheimer's, arthritis, kidney, et cetera, Parkinson's Disease Foundation. And the common denominator across all of those organizations is diet, exercise, and nutrition. And this is now another opportunity for seniors to keep it moving, you know, and to maintain health. It's not as demanding, as you say, like tennis, you know, but a little more than ping pong, right? Because you got to move a little bit more. And I've seen the videos, and it looks like a fun game. It's just not something to go out and work out, but it's something that you would want to go out and work out too, because it keeps you moving. And I see the seniors just having a good time.
It is a wonderful game, actually. And I think most of the time we play doubles because of the capacity, and just because that seems to be something that a lot of people enjoy. So there is a because the court is smaller and you're playing doubles, there's almost a social component to it as well. Mm-hmm. So it's great exercise. You have a lot of fun. Little gentle trash talking from some of them, but very enjoyable, and it is terrific exercise.
Absolutely. How athletic do you have to be for this game?
Well, you have to be reasonably mobile. You need to be able to sort of move laterally as well as back and forth as the game is played. But as you learn the game and play over a period of, I would say, 2 or 3 months, you learn more about positioning, which is helpful to even those who may be a little less quick or less mobile than others. So it's really a sport that allows you to sort of adapt to your own level.
Sure. You mentioned locations in Virginia as well as Maryland here in Silver Spring, but you didn't mention any in D.C. Are there any sites that are coming up or already in place to accommodate pickleball?
There are three sites that we set up in the fall of last year. Okay. Those are King Greenleaf Center, which is down near Arena Stage.
We're in
the
Southwest.
Exactly. There is the Emory Recreational Center, which is actually just down the street here,
so that's
Georgia Avenue. Mm-hmm. That's northwest, just where Missouri and military come across. And then there's the Sherwood Center, which is over in Northeast, 10th and H, I believe.
Okay.
So it's very close to the Gallaudet and
so we
Capitol
got, we got
Hill
the city
region.
Covered from, you know, geographically, Southwest, Northeast, and Northwest.
Yeah, the only place we don't have one as yet, but we're looking to expand into that, would be into Southeast.
Yeah. Well, we're good. Well, Scott, I'm glad you came in to talk about, you know, pickleball. I happened to see it on the news some months ago, and then you had called me about it, and the timing was just great. And I want to get more involved in this as well. I want to learn more about the game, come out and see. So please invite me to one of your events. Real quick, my last question for you. Where do you see this going? It's a rave now, but will this deflate, I should say, you know, or do you see this really growing, you know, regionally, nationally, into a major sport?
It's actually growing at increasing speed, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that there are a lot of us baby boomers who are now either retiring or semi-retired, so that increase in our discretionary time means that we're actually looking for something that is fun and active and so on. So I think it's actually going to continue to expand significantly.
Yeah, sure. Scott, I want to thank you for coming on. Any last remarks before
this
goes?
No, this has been terrific. Thanks
Did we cover everything on pickleball?
Yeah.
pickleball. Let's get out there and either start moving or continuing to move into a new and fascinating sport. This was Sean Perry speaking with Scott Parker of the United States of America Pickleball Association. Again, Scott, thank you so very much. Up next, how seniors can connect to community aging services. Still to come, our senior spotlight of the week, as well as announcements. For now, here is Give Thanks by Michael Rapol.
Money problems for several months and couldn't pay my rent. I explained the situation to my landlord, but he still says he's going to evict me. Is there anything I can do?
I gave out my personal information to someone over the phone who promised to lower my mortgage rate. I wish I hadn't fallen for that trick. Does that mean I'll lose my house?
Sadly, not having the resources for representation is a common reason many seniors are unable to protect themselves. For 40 years, Legal Counsel for the Elderly has been providing free legal services for D.C. seniors who can't afford their own. If you or someone you know is a D.C. resident 60 or older who needs legal help, please visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly. We're here to defend the rights of D.C. seniors because everyone is entitled to lawful benefits and fairness in the justice system. Visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly is a nonprofit charitable affiliate of AARP.
Good morning. We are back. This is the Senior Zone. I'm your host, Sean Perry. With me today is Miss Sandy Markwood. She is the CEO of National Association of Area Agencies on Aging. Good morning, Miss Markwood.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I am doing quite well this morning. And you?
Very well. Thank you.
Please allow me to properly further introduce you to our listeners here on the Senior Zone. Again, Ms. Marquis, she's the CEO of the National Association for the Area Agencies on Aging, where she has more than 30 years of experience in the development and delivery of aging, health, human services, housing, and transportation programs in counties and cities across the nation. Prior to coming to the National Association for Area Agencies on Aging, I'm just going to call it N4A. Is that okay with you?
That's a lot easier.
Okay. Prior to coming to N4A in January of 2002, Sandy served as the Deputy Director of County Services at the National Association of Counties, where she took a lead role in research, training, conference planning, program development, technical assistance, and grants management. As CEO, she is responsible for the overall management of N4A. She sets strategic direction for the staff, oversees the implementation of all policy, grassroots, advocacy, membership, and program initiatives, and so much more. But I really want to get into the subject, Sandy, of how we can connect, for those that may not know, how we can connect seniors to community aging services. And as you know, as we sometimes grow older, you know, we find that, you know, we may need a little bit more support. So if there's a senior out there looking for help in his or her community, where should they go first?
Well, Sean, I would say that they should look for their area agency on aging. There are 622 area agencies on aging across the United States, and they're in every single community. And they were created by the Older Americans Act to be able to help older adults and their caregivers find aging services at the community level. So that's the first place that I would go, because that's their mission.
So you said, you know, so you mentioned there's over 600, you know, plus, you know, AAAs, as we call them now for brevity's sake. How and where would they find them in their community?
Well, again, they're in every single community, but where they sit, Sean, may be a little bit different depending on what state you're in and what part of the state. Most area agencies on aging are nonprofit agencies, so they are located in the community, but they may have a name that has area agency in it, but they may be called senior services or age options. And about 30% are part of county government. Maryland is, they're all part of county government. Mm-hmm. In Virginia, they're part of counties and also councils of governments and nonprofits. And there are about 30% of them that are part of those kinds of councils of governments. So they're either located in a county, in a council of governments, or an independent agency. But they're in every single community in the country.
Okay. So, for instance, for those that are within our listening voice, as an example, you know, we have the D.C. Office on Aging. That would be an equivalent to an area agency on aging, correct?
Right. The D.C. Office on Aging in Montgomery County, Prince George's County, there are area agencies on aging tied into the local government, as in Fairfax County, Arlington County, Prince William County. So really in the metro D.C. area, they're primarily tied into the local government. So that makes them easier to find.
Gotcha. So let's talk about some of the services that are provided. You know, I'll let you lead the way here. What type of services do AAAs provide?
Well, they provide a whole range of services. Their core services are really probably, and the service that they're most known for is nutrition services. It's often called Meals on Wheels, but it's both meals that can be provided in a group setting, usually at senior centers, and senior centers are very tied into and supported by area agencies on aging, or it could be for older adults who are more homebound, those important home-delivered meals. But it's beyond meals. It's also transportation. It could be medical transportation to ensure that an older adult can get to a doctor or coming back from the hospital. Legal services, which I heard the ad right before we got on the air. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's an important service, but it's health and wellness. It could be health promotion programs, caregiver support, home modification. There's a broad range of supportive programs that area agencies provide. Bottom line for area agencies is they want to ensure that older adults can age successfully in their homes and in their communities for as long as possible.
It sounds like the senior zone and area agencies have the same mission. We're just trying to advocate on their behalf. But it sounds like, you know, there's a lot of critical services, you know, that you guys provide and that are certainly needed. What are the most requested services, Sandy?
The most requested services, both from area agencies on aging and also my organization runs the Elder Care Locator, which is a national call-in number where older adults and caregivers call looking for services. And the most requested services, Sean, may be surprising to you. The first is transportation. That is the number one requested service by the Elder Care Locator and then at the local level by our area agencies on aging. The second is home and community-based services, you know, services like those home-delivered meals or maybe personal care or home maintenance. A third is housing, people looking for housing, how to both look at repairing their existing housing, but sometimes looking for alternative housing. And then medical services and supplies and health insurance kind of round out the top five.
Yeah. So why do you think transportation is the number one requested service?
Well, you know, Sean, when you're thinking about it, you know, there is a point in life where all of us may find driving more difficult. Mm-hmm. And for men, they generally drive. Oftentimes, people outlive their driving years by an average of a decade for women and 7 years for men. But people don't necessarily know when they give up those keys what options they have for transportation and mobility in their community. So what we're looking at from the transportation perspective is how to fill that void, how to help people who can no longer drive and find the transportation options that exist in their community. And those transportation options are critical because once people stop driving, what we find is 65% of them take less or fewer trips to see family, friends, to go to church, and 15% fewer trips to the doctor. So this can have a real dramatic impact not only on their physical health, but also on their mental health and their social engagement. So transportation's huge.
Yeah, I can certainly see that for sure. I mean, we you know, aging in place is one thing, but that encompasses the total health and being of a person, and part of that is mobility, able to get out to their medical and doctor appointments. Whether we just spoke about pickleball, if they're into pickleball, to get to those sorts of activities and still live, a life with dignity and respect, and able to get out and enjoy the community in which they live. You spoke about home and community-based services, if I recall that correctly as well, mm-hmm. Sandy. Can you outline that a little further? What are those services? What do they look like, you know, tangibly for our audience to really get it and understand it?
Home and community-based services, it covers a broad area, but it's basically being able to provide some services in the home that help an older adult stay there. Sometimes people need chore services. They can no longer mow their lawn, or they need some help in cleaning their gutters. Sometimes it's personal services and more services as people become more frail, or if they just are coming home from the hospital, they may need these services for a short period of time. That could be services around personal grooming, bathing, and the like. Sometimes people need more medical assistance, home health care. And then, you know, those critical meal preparation and or meal delivery services, financial services. There's really a whole range of services and supports that area agencies and through their contracted service providers are prepared to be able to provide older adults to help them be able to remain living successfully in their homes.
Yeah. Elder care. You mentioned the Elder Care Locator just a short while ago. When folks call in, you know, to that number, by the way, what's the number for that? Is it an 800 number?
It is an 800 number. It's 1-800-677-1116.
800-677-1116. So when folks call in, if you can, you know, share to the extent that you can, what are some of the common questions that they have, and how does the area agencies help them?
Well, when people call into the National Call Center, our goal is to be able to transfer and connect that person to the most applicable social and services and supports at the community level that they need. So if somebody calls in, and sometimes we get calls from across the country, and people are looking for, they may be looking for a ride to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And so what we would do at the National Call Center is find out where they are and then be able to, and we can directly connect them to the service in their community that can help meet their need. So, you know, again, a lot of people call about transportation. And, Sean, the sad thing here is that people, the majority of people are calling because they need to get to the doctor right away. So one of the other things that we always advocate is please plan ahead, because sometimes those immediate needs are hard to be able to meet. You know, people are calling because they've got major home repairs that are needed. Some cases they need to finance them. Some cases they're just afraid of who they need to contract with to come in, because there's so many scams out there, and people are fearful of how do they find the right person to make sure that they're going to get those repairs done and get them done at a cost that is reasonable. And sometimes people are just looking because they're confused about their Medicare. They got a notice from Medicare, and they just aren't sure exactly what to do with that. So we get a range of questions that come into the Elder Care Locator. Our goal is to help people sort through what their needs are and to get them connected to the right resource to resolve them.
Sure, and I appreciate all that you are doing over at the Area Agency on Aging. And let me just get on my bandwagon for one moment, because, you know, here at the Senior Zone, you know, we have become, to an extent, a resource for others. We then direct it out to the local, you know, AAAs as well. But if you're listening out there and you need help and a place to start with your particular issue, Elder Care Locator is such a number for you, and they are a vetted and trusted organization. Their number, again, is 800. That's 800-677-1116. I'm going to repeat that one more time, Sandy. That's 800-677-1116. You can call them for all of your senior-related issues. Sandy, you know, we know that seniors cannot just do it alone. You know, we've heard that adage, it takes a village to raise a child. But it also takes a village to care for a senior. What sort of support does the Area Agency on Aging provide for caregivers?
Well, caregivers are critical to ensuring that older adults can remain living successfully at home, Sean. And in saying that, through the Area Agencies on Aging, we operate the National Family Caregiver Support Program through the Administration for Community Living. And in that program, we can help give caregivers education and that critical information about how to meet their caregiver needs. You know, nobody studied to be a caregiver, and oftentimes you are put into these positions in crisis situations, and you just don't have the information. So through this program, you can get information about caregiving, and you can also get connected to support groups to be able to help you do this very important but often very difficult job, and know that you're not doing it alone. And the third service that can be provided is respite service. Respite's kind of a funny name, but really what it is a service that enables caregivers to get a break from their caregiving duties. You know, sometimes it may be an hour or a few hours, and in some cases there's the ability to get an overnight respite so that you can get away and recharge your juices to be able to play that important role of being a caregiver to your loved one.
Yeah. Just another question on and you're absolutely right. And we need all of those services, Sandy. And I see them throughout our local community as I travel from, you know, Prince George's to Montgomery to D.C., even Arlington and Alexandria counties, as I go about doing what I do here on the senior zone. And what I see is not all of the agencies are cookie cutter. Each is crafted to serve the needs of their local community. Is that true?
Absolutely. I think that there's a core group of services that are consistent among all of the area agencies, and that's largely because they were formed from the Federal Older Americans Act. And as you said, they've got a 40-year track record of providing those services. Created in 1973, area agencies were 1965 with the Older Americans Act. But then on top of that, the Older Americans Act and area agencies have the ability to be flexible, to meet those critical local needs, which may be different depending on where you live. You know, certainly the needs of Montgomery County, you know, are different even within the county because of the rural and the broad nature of that county. Same thing with Fairfax County. Arlington and Alexandria may be a little different because they're more urban. So there is that ability to be able to alter services to meet the needs of older adults in the community.
Yeah. You know, by 2030, and I know you know all this sort of stuff, but our listeners may not. By 2030, one in five Americans, that's 20% of our population, or the actual number would be around 70 million or so, will be 65 or older. And that's going to put a challenge on many of our federal entitlement programs, your Social Security, Medicare and Medicaid. What role will AAA have in ensuring that all the services that you mentioned, transportation, home and community-based services, housing, et cetera, what role will you play in ensuring that those services remain in place?
Well, we are advocates, and in saying that, I hope everybody who is listening will become an advocate for older adults and these important programs. And in saying that, I think that the Older Americans Act programs, those programs provided by the area agencies on aging, will need to have support because other with the entitlement programs, there's a lot of discussion politically about what the future of those programs are going to be. Certainly, we will always advocate that Medicare and Social Security and Medicaid, which pays a great deal for long-term care if somebody is institutionalized and more for home and community-based services as well, that those important critical programs remain in place. And in the Older Americans Act, it requires area agencies on aging, one of the only pieces of legislation for area agencies to advocate on behalf of older adults. So we will be there advocating for these programs to remain in place and also to grow because they should grow. As you mentioned about the population increasing, that's going to put more demand on all of these programs to be able to meet the needs of older adults. And we need to ensure that federal, state, and local support is there. But we also need to make sure that older adults themselves prepare adequately for their old age. And that's another role that area agencies play. So we're advocates and supporters of older adults, both at the federal, state, and local level.
Yeah. The one thing I like about area agencies on aging is that you guys, and I don't know if that's the proper grammar, but you guys, you know, from the beginning, you know, were designed to be the eyes and ears, the troops on the ground with helping our vulnerable older adults live with independence and dignity and respect right in their own homes and communities. And so that's one of the things I just love about, you know, this organization, because you are the troops on the ground. You get to feed that information back upline, you know, to the bean counters, the decision makers, you know, further up the food chain. How would you rate the overall performance and viability, you know, as we prepare for this tsunami of older adults?
Well, Sean, I have to say I've been working in the aging arena for a long time now, more than 20 years. And, you know, at this point, when we're looking at the demographics of the aging population, you know, as you mentioned, you know, one in five currently over the age of 65, mm-hmm. you know, are soon to be over the age of 65. And in some of the communities around here, that number is even higher. You know, I would have thought that as a society, we would have been further ahead as far as our investments in supporting aging in place, supporting older adults at the community level. And we're not quite there yet. But then I am always so encouraged by initiatives like Montgomery County jumping into becoming an age-friendly community and a dementia-friendly community in December. Prince George's County signing on to become a dementia-friendly community. Fairfax and Alexandria really looking and doing a lot of work on livable communities for all ages. So, you know, when I look at this across the board from a societal level, I wish we would be further along. But especially when I look locally here in the Metro DC area, I see a lot of progress, and that has been very encouraging.
Yeah, you know, we are certainly setting the standard or a standard bearer for many other jurisdictions as I, you know, travel about, you know, more regionally than anything else. I know you're you travel, you know, from mm-hmm. coast to coast there, but Montgomery County, as well as the District of Columbia, you know, and what they're doing on behalf of our local seniors, in my opinion, really is setting the tone and standard for many other jurisdictions around the country. And I applaud them for what they are doing and striving to do. But with the minutes that we have left, Sandy, real quick, for those that may have a grievance or become dissatisfied with their local AAA, where can they go?
Well, for those that are county-based or in the local region, and I forgot to mention when I was applauding the local jurisdictions, D.C. has been playing a very upfront role in promoting aging in the District of Columbia. But I would say that you can always call the Elder Care Locator and to be able to find out, you know, who exactly to call at the local level. Mm-hmm. But in general, I would first call the Area Agency on Aging, ask to speak to the director, and make sure that you register your complaint. But then also, if you don't feel like you get the proper response that you're looking for, you know, then take it up a step, and you can contact any of the local elected officials in your community. But usually, sometimes what we find is when people aren't happy with the response, sometimes they're looking for a service where there's a waiting list and they can't get immediate they can't get that service immediately, and that's really, you know, unfortunately, because of funding in some jurisdictions, a reality. But usually the Area Agency on Aging will put folks on a waiting list and also look at alternatives. But contact the Area Agency, let them know that you're not happy, ask for if there's somebody that you can talk to, the director, for a complaint resolution. If you're still unhappy, then you can take it to another level and call either someone higher within the local government or your local elected official.
Gotcha. One last question for you, Sandy. For those that are, say, under 60, such as those that may have a disability, and maybe even our veterans, does the Area Agencies on Aging provide any services for that population?
I'm so glad you asked that question, Sean, because really the breadth of who Area Agencies of Serving have grown over the past 5 to 10 years. Currently, 73% of Area Agencies serve consumers under 60 with a disability or a chronic illness, and they also serve veterans of all ages. So again, if there's a veteran or someone with a disability calling, you know, please call the Elder Care Locator or call your Area Agency on Aging, because they may be able to help you access services as well.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. We've been speaking with Ms. Sandy Markwood, CEO of the National Association of Area Agencies on Aging, and how we can further connect you, our seniors, to the community-based services that are being offered right here in your local community. That's what it's all about. Again, Sandy, I want to thank you for your time. Are there any last remarks that you have before I let you go?
Well, Sean, I just want to thank you for what you're doing and having the Senior Zone on the air, because you are being able to help older adults connect to the issues that they care most about and also to their community. So thank you for your work.
Thank you so very much. And we do that, Sandy, just so you know, simply because, as I said in our intro every week, we do this simply because we care. That's the bottom line. There's no other sort of agenda or motive. We care about the older adult population and hope to be a forum of connection and even inspiring possibilities. So that's my little bandwagon there. But again, Sandy, thank you so very much for your time, and look forward to having you back on the show.
I'd love to. Take care, Sean. Have a great day.
Hey, Sandy, you take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. This next break is brought to you by our friends over at Right at Home. Here is We Are Blessed by Smooth Jazz All-Stars, Senior Spotlight of the Week, and announcements coming up.
Thank you. right at home is a special kind of company for seniors and others who need care at home. We start with a full assessment of a person's situation. Then we create a customized plan and match up a caregiver.
We take them from disconnected to connected.
Our professionals help with basic tasks like preparing meals or medication monitoring. We provide support and transportation to doctor's visits and social events.
They become involved instead of uninvolved.
We'll take them where they want to go and help them keep doing the things that they enjoy.
With us, care is consistent, not inconsistent.
And every right-at-home caregiver is reliable, trained, and background checked.
So you can go from uncertain to certain.
It's the right care. Right at home. Call Right at Home at 301-255-0066. We'll set up a free in-home consultation at your convenience. That's 301-255-0066.
Good morning. We are back, and it is the Super Senior of the Week time. The Super Senior of the Week is a recognition by the Senior Zone of an exceptional older adult doing extraordinary things in his or her life and within the local community in spite of their age. So in today's Super Senior, we highlight a remarkable woman who lives each day with intention and to the fullest and has been doing so after the age of 50 for nearly 30 years. Regrettably, I must say she is not able or was not able to call in today. I told her I am proceeding anyway. I'm talking about a lady named Miss Ernestine Shepherd. At 79 years old, this Baltimore grandmother is the Guinness World Records oldest female bodybuilder. You got to check her out. 20 years or so ago, she was a pudgy, middle-aged woman who hated it. You know what she saw in the dressing room or in the mirror. And she decided to do something about it. She, at the time, thought, she, you know, she said she was too prissy to exercise and she didn't want to mess up her hair. You know what I'm talking about. Didn't want to mess up her fingernails. But at a point in her life, she decided to make a change. And boy, did she do it. She said her health trumped everything else, and she decided to hit the gym. And she made this transformation. I mean, she has more abs than I have abs. I haven't seen mine in a while. You can see all six of hers today. But she said she started her transformation by starting slow. She wasn't concerned about getting those ripped muscles overnight. She just wanted to start. And that's what it's all about, starting. She then increased her workout incrementally as she saw some improvements. And that was it. From that point on, it was over. She then decided to start thinking big about becoming a female bodybuilder and competing at that point. She says she contributes, you know, her success to eating smart. Her diet may not be for everybody, but she eats about 1,700 calories a day. That's comprised of boiled eggs and chicken and vegetables and even some liquid egg white drinks that she has every day. But that's been her transformation. I just want to applaud her for what she's doing because she's the oldest female bodybuilder, according to the Guinness Books of World Records. She is doing what I encourage each and one of us over the age of 50 to do, and that is live life with intention and to the fullest. It's not over till it's over. So Miss Ernestine Shepherd, you are the Senior Zone's Senior Super Senior of the Week. I thank you, and I look forward to you coming on the show, and we'll do this again with you when you're able to make it here on the Senior Zone. Thank you so very much. In our news and announcements, the Senior Connection, they're looking for volunteers to drive seniors to medical and other appointments. Their next training session will take place on Wednesday, February 10th at 10 a.m. and Wednesday, February 24th at 7 p.m. at the Holiday Park Senior Center in Silver Spring, Maryland. For more information, if you're interested in volunteering here, call them at 301-962-0820. That's 301-962-0820. The D.C. Office on Aging, they are seeking persons age 100 or older to honor at the annual centenarian event to celebrate the district's older residents. So if you know of a centenarian that should be honored, please make sure they get registered with the D.C. Office on Aging. To register, call 202-724-5622, 202-724-5622. Also with the D.C. Office on Aging, their newest program called Safe at Home promotes aging in place for older adults, that's 60 years of age and older, as well as persons living with disabilities, 18 to 59. They are offering up to $10,000. I said $10,000 in home accessibility grants that reduce the risk of falls and reduce barriers that limit your mobility. To get more information on this program and to begin the application process, call 202-638-0050. Their Safe at Home program number again is 202-638-0050. Next, in recognition of Macular Degeneration Awareness Month, the National Eye Institute will discuss research initiatives to protect existing sights on Sunday, February 28th from 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Sibley Medical Building in Northwest D.C. For more information, go to youreyes.org, O-R-G, youreyes.org, or call 202-234-1010, 202-234-1010. Looking for volunteer opportunities, and I hope you are. Get out your house. Get out those four walls. AARP, they're seeking volunteers age 50 and over to mentor students in the kindergarten through third grade. So if you live in the D.C. area, you can sign up for an ongoing training program by calling AARP at 877-926-8300. 877-926-8300. We are almost through. Each Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., Holy Cross Hospital provides a caregiver support group for adult children caring for aging parents. That's adult children caring for their aging parents. For more information and to register, call Holy Cross Hospital at 301-754-7152. 301-754-7152. It's early, so you can still get your tickets. And I'm going to say get your tickets now because I'm excited always about the Senior Zone's Winter Gala on the Bay, which is Tuesday, March 1st. So you got 4 weeks. Tuesday, March 1st from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Chesapeake Beach Spa and Resort. I promise live entertainment, good food, good dance, and so much more. Invite your friends, call your family members, share this with your coworkers. Tell any and everybody to come on down to the Chesapeake Beach Spa and Resort at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, March 1st from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. I promise a surefire good time. It's open to the public. For tickets, call 202-351-7053. 202-351-7053. To have your event or announcement mentioned here on the Senior Zone, or to share your thoughts about today's show or recommendations for future broadcasts, call us at 800-214-1984 or check us out at theseniorzone.com. Be sure to join us next Monday here on the Senior Zone, where our guest will be the former Maryland Lieutenant Governor, Anthony Brown. Yes, Anthony Brown, former Lieutenant Maryland Governor. Until next time, have an intentionally blessed week.
Be sure to join us on our next broadcast.
Until then,
live simply,
love generously,
care deeply,
speak kindly,
and leave the rest to God. Have a wonderful week, and God willing, the Senior Zone will be here for another informative and entertaining hour next Monday morning at 10 a.m.